Well, this has been quite some day. It's been a day of sacrifice on the part of all of us gathered here, and it's been a day of grace on the part of God. Let's not forget the word sacrifice comes from the Latin word sacrum facere, to make holy, that we have been here today so that God can make us holy. And it's been a day of grace in which God, in so many profound yet simple ways, has shared his life with us, has given us his grace, his peace, his life. And thank you, one and all, for making the sacrifices that you have made so that you and I can become holier. And thanks be to God for his generous grace. Every time that I have the opportunity to go to the Eternal City, the seat of our universal church, I have to confess that there is one experience that I look forward to and insist upon when I go there, and it is the opportunity to celebrate Holy Mass with the missionary Sisters of Christian Charity, the sisters in the community founded by Mother Teresa. Just as an aside, since I've come back to Pittsburgh, it has been my dream that the missionary sisters of the Holy of the Christian Charity can come to Pittsburgh. And thus far, I haven't gotten an affirmative answer, but I'll keep on knocking on the door in the hopes that they will have the sisters to provide to come to our city. But I do like to visit with the sisters and celebrate Holy Mass with them because they have three homes in Rome. One is a shelter for homeless women that is situated right within the shadows of St. Peter's Basilica. The second one is a shelter for homeless men that is right near the Circus Maximus. And the third is a home for unwed mothers that is just outside the boundaries of the city of Rome. But there is one thing that is ever so consistent about going to have Holy Mass in any one of those three places, and it is the profound beauty of the holiness of those missionary sisters. I can't tell you what it feels like to kick off my shoes like the sisters as I walk into their very modest chapel. And should you ever have an opportunity to visit one of their chapels in any of their missions throughout the world, one of the things that will quickly catch your eye is the centerpiece of the sanctuary behind the altar will in fact have a very predominant crucifix. And to the left of the image of the suffering Christ are these two words, "I thirst. I thirst." And more than just one of the seven last words uttered by Jesus at the time of his death on Calvary, those words become the impelling force, if you will, of Mother Teresa and of the members of her community. And I'm reminded of a very powerful story that occurred not so long ago at missionary sisters' home in Washington, D.C. The story is truthfully told about a man who was a homeless individual who was, in fact, dying of AIDS. And he was absolutely miserable. And no matter what it was that the sisters tried to do for him, he spat at them, he spewed out the vulgarest of words, and he continued to be met by nothing less than love. And so one of the priests of the Archdiocese of Washington had come in to see the man at the man's request. And the priest said to the man dying of AIDS, "Well, how is it that I can help you?" He said, "I want to be baptized." And the priest said, "Well, can you tell me why? What would urge you to make that request?" He said, "Well, I want to be like these ladies. I've spat at them, I've spewed out the worst words that I could possibly throw at them, and they have only responded back out of love. When I asked them how in the world they could ever treat you the way that they did, their answer was simply, Jesus. And so the man said, if Jesus could do that for them, I know Jesus can do that for me. I thirst. I truly believe those words that Jesus spoke on the hill of Calvary on that first Good Friday were still on his lips as he came into that upper room, not once but twice. Jesus came to that upper room with that deepest desire, and you and I know what it feels like to really thirst. He came to that upper room on the evening that he rose from the dead with 10 of his apostles. And his thirst was deep, hoping that his disciples would once again welcome him into their own hearts, that he would in fact be the foundation of their lives. And as we heard this story told again this afternoon, Jesus had to make an encore visit because there was one who was not there the week before. Didymus, Thomas. And so once again, a proof of the thirsting of Jesus, not wanting to see one of his apostles go by the wayside without the encounter of his presence after the resurrection, Jesus comes back the second week, thirsting, to be received into Thomas's life. And it seems to me, my brothers who are gathered here today for this entire day, it is imperative for us to understand that Jesus has that same thirst for you and for me. He wants to be welcome into our lives so that we in turn may take him to our families and to our workplaces and to our friends and to those who are not so friendly to us. Jesus has a deep thirst that he may find a home in us. We, not unlike Didymus, not unlike Thomas, certainly have our questions, our doubts, our struggles, our anger, our wrestling with God, and pray in the end that, like Thomas, we may open our hearts to the thirst of the Savior. But I also believe that when Jesus came to that upper room both times, on Easter Sunday and a week later, he was thirsting for a second reality. That those apostles would know absolute freedom. And no wonder that Jesus would repeat once again, "My peace I give to you. Your sins are forgiven. You, in fact, are freed from the shackles of the evil one." And how appropriate that we would see that thirst of Jesus so very real in our day. I thirst for your freedom to be able to worship the way that you have a right to worship, but that you may also have the freedom to live the faith as you know it to be. But I wonder, brothers, as we find ourselves involved in this important battle in our own country for the preservation of our religious freedom, I wonder and worry that it's not simply a political activist role on us who bear the name of Christ. I wonder and are worried if our concern about that religious freedom goes further, so that we may take seriously that freedom that is ours, that we embrace it, that we love it, that we live it, and that we pass it on day in and day out, wherever we are, whatever we do, wherever we go. And finally, I truly believe that on that first Easter Sunday, and 1 week later, when Jesus came to that upper room, he was thirsting that his apostles and all of his followers would be able to see his face in everyone whom they met. And I believe those apostles got it. And proof of it, the Acts of the Apostles. The story that we heard that began our understanding of the liturgy of the word today, where the community came together, not interested in a selfish love, but a selfless love, not holding anything on for themselves, but sharing it all for the good of those especially who were in need. And it seems to me, my brothers, that that third thirst of Jesus is as real for you and me as it was for those early apostles. Jesus thirsts that we never turn a deaf ear to someone in need. Jesus thirsts that we never turn a back on somebody who disagrees with us. Jesus thirsts that we so much have the eyes of Easter that we can in fact recognize the presence of Christ in every single person whom we meet, whether they be attractive or not so attractive or not attractive at all. And that takes us back to Washington, D.C. An AIDS patient, smelly and seemingly hopeless, spitting on those disciples of Jesus, spewing out the most vulgar of words, only to meet in return a Christ who thirsted for his love, a Christ who thirsted for his freedom, and a Christ who thirsted that he in turn could find the face of Christ in those beautiful women. And so, this afternoon, my dear, dear brothers in Christ, as we conclude this beautiful day of prayer, of reflection, of confession, of challenge, with the icing on the cake that is, in fact, this sacred Eucharist, may we be willing to meet again and over again and again a Christ who thirsts that we may welcome him into our hearts, a Christ who thirsts that we may truly value the freedom that is his gift to us, and a Christ who thirsts that we may look for him in everyone whom we meet. And my dear brothers in Christ, if we are willing to do just that, then perhaps a homeless AIDS patient whom we may meet, or a difficult boss with whom it is almost impossible to deal, or a relative who has slandered us beyond belief, we may not only treat as if they are Christ, but because we chose to show Christ, that thirst will convert them. My brothers, we have celebrated today the theme of the Eucharist in America. More importantly, we celebrate the Eucharist as Jesus' thirst in our lives. May our yes our Christ be as strong as his yes is to us.